John 17. And we'll give you these thoughts on our heart for a few minutes this morning. And then we'll let you go while it's still under 100 degrees. This chapter, John 17, we could say is definitely a highlight or even the holy of holies of God's word. And if you're not familiar with this chapter, you should be. It is the Lord Jesus praying to the Father for his people. It ought to be of such interest and excitement to us. He's praying for his own. It is truly the Lord's Prayer. Now, what we call the Lord's Prayer, recorded in Matthew 6 and Luke 11, is really a model prayer given to the disciples after they had requested of the Lord, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so the Lord gives them that model prayer that we're familiar with, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," and so on. We call that the Lord's Prayer. But here in John 17, truly is the Lord's Prayer. And I'll read just one verse for our text this morning, verse 24. John 17 and verse 24. Jesus praying to the Father, he says, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world." I want to center our thoughts around the first part of that verse for the message this morning. "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am." We might note in the beginning that the Lord Jesus never prayed with his disciples. He prayed alone. He had sent them away, and then he'd go privately into the mountain, spend entire nights in prayer. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember the Bible says that he did take Peter, James, and John a little distance further than the rest. But then, having taken them a distance, he left them, and Matthew says, and he went a little farther. He always does. The Gospel of Luke said he went about a stone's cast farther. So our Lord prayed alone in the garden that night. Now, he could not pray with his disciples or with us as we do. Why? While we cry out to God, he is God. The praying of the Lord Jesus Christ is deity conversing with deity. It is conversation within the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Before the world was created, there was a conference held and a covenant made. And that is why Christ came into the world. And that covenant was within the Godhead. It was between the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I heard an old preacher years ago, he's gone on now, as so many are, Brother Ray Long. And he said it like this. He said, "I can imagine that that conference, yonder in eternity past, went something like this. The Father says, 'We'll create a bride for my Son and put her in a race exposed to Satan's deception.' And the Holy Spirit says, and when we do, she'll fall. And the Lord Jesus says, and when she falls, I'll go and redeem her at any price. And the Spirit says, and when you redeem her, I'll go and inform her that she's been redeemed and belongs to you. And I'll comfort her and teach her and guide her. And then the Father says, and when the time is right, son, I'll bring her home to you to be with you forever. So the Trinity agreed and made a covenant. And none of the three, Father, Son, or Holy Ghost, has ever defaulted or come short in their commitment to carry out that everlasting covenant. So in this chapter, John 17, in the night he was betrayed, after the institution of the Lord's Supper, he is facing a cross in the morning, and he knows it. So he now, in this chapter, prays for his own. And in this one verse, he said some tremendous things. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Now, in considering these words from the lips of our Lord, I want to just concentrate on about four things, mention about four things hurriedly this morning. Number one, the relationship by which Christ prayed. He uses the word or the title, Father. Father. It's one of six times in this prayer that he addresses God as his Father. In this chapter, first in verse 1, he said, Father, the hour is come. Secondly, in verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. Thirdly, in verse 11, Holy Father. Fourth, in verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. And then fifth here in verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And then sixth in verse 25, O righteous Father. Father. Now our Lord had taught the disciples, when you pray, he said, you say, our Father, our Father. That means that all believers are on the same level. He's our Father. I have heard a few times through the years, men lead in public prayer, and they'd be praying and they'd say, my Father. I believe that's inappropriate. Jesus said for us to pray with the understanding that we're all in the same level. There's no big I's and little U's. There's nobody better than anybody else. He's our Father. He's our Father. The Lord Jesus, however, simply said, Father. He's not on our level. One line in that model prayer, remember, said, forgive us our trespasses. He couldn't pray that. He never had any trespasses or sins. So there is definitely a distinction between our praying and his praying. Between us saying our Father and him just saying Father. I believe he makes reference to that in John 20 after the resurrection when he said to Mary Magdalene, he said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go and tell my brethren that I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. He still makes the distinction that God is his Father in a sense other than he's our Father. So he is our Father only in Christ, of course. So how blessed this relationship, Father, Father. You and I are so much like the prodigal in Luke 15. We say like he did, I'll go back to my father. And because of my poverty, and because of my foolishness, I'll talk to him about being a servant. The father was at home watching daily, looking down the road. You know that story, Luke 15. But see, he wasn't looking for a servant. He had servants. He was looking for a son. And this morning, the Lord is not waiting for us to come to him in the capacity of a servant. He's not hiring any help. And we need not talk to him about qualified as a dishwasher or janitor or anything else. No. He's not really looking for servants. He's looking for his sons. Now, Satan has used this in our time, I believe more than ever, on some very, very fine people. Oh, to emphasize all this about how much God needs servants. And how that Christianity is all about our getting down in the gutter and showing people we care. May I say that you cannot care enough and you cannot do enough to change a single heart. That's God's business. That's his department. What all that stuff is, all that religious mess is just another version of you shall be as gods. You can earn your way, you can make your way, you can do it, but not so. Not so. Now back to Christ praying. He speaks the title, Father. Father. He speaks this here on covenant grounds. In covenant relationship. He's talking with one he's talked with from eternity. He's talking with one he's concerning things agreed on in eternity. And he said back in the first verse, Father, the hour is come. What hour is he talking about? Oh, the hour that I finally cannot dodge anymore and they're finally going to catch up with me and crucify me. No, he's not talking about that. The hour is come. What hour? The hour of his approaching the cross. The hour agreed on before the world was created. The hour for which the world was created. There's no other hour like this hour. Verse 1, Father, the hour is come. Verse 5, now, O Father. Verse 11, Holy Father. Verse 21, that they all may be one, Father. And now in verse 24, Father. The relationship by which he prays. Then the next thought would be the realm in which he prays. And this is really, really big to me. The realm in which he prays. He's not here begging for something on the basis like we do. But he says, Father, I will. I will. This is my will. Now we mentioned already about its basis in a covenant made in eternity past. Now he reaches forward. Christ is on his way physically to Gethsemane and then on through the night, carried to Pilate's hall, crucified in the morning. But this night, he speaks as if all that's already done. If you'll notice that in this prayer. He said in verse 4, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Had he finished it? Not physically. Not physically. He's not to go to the cross till in the morning. But he's reaching beyond the present moment. He's appealing to the oneness of the relationship with his Father. He's appealing to the trust of the Father that it will be done. And he speaks as if it's already done. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world. Well, physically he was. Verse 13, and now I come to thee. Not right now. He's got a cross waiting in the morning. But Christ prays as having already accomplished it all. And the realm or the reach of this prayer is in the two words, I will. Father, I will. He said in chapter 6 and verse 38, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he made similar statements several times. But here, and oh how great this is, for the first time Christ says, I will. I will. This is what I want. He is not here and now saying to the Father, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He said that. But now he's embraced the realm or the reach of his finished work. And he says, Father, I will. This is what I want. And he's doing it on the basis of having qualified to pray in his own merits. Having earned the right. Having attained to the realm of petitioning the Father in his own name. With the simple words, I will. Father, I will. Now you and I could never pray like that. You'd be foolish to pray to the Lord in the merits of yourself. Had a person a while back said to me, well, I'm just praying that the Lord will do such and such because I've been pretty good lately. Never. Santa Claus wants to know if you've been good. God wants to know if you've been perfect. That's his standard. It's never been anything less than that. So you and I this morning approach God in the name and in the merits of Jesus Christ, or we perish. God demands perfection, and it's in the perfection of his dear Son that we can come to God. So you and I can't pray like this, Father, I will. But he could. So can you see where he's at now? He's earned this. It's not, oh, Father, please hear. Oh, Father, please forgive. Or, oh, Father, for thy sake. No, it's, Father, I will. I will. Before this, he had said, I delight to do thy will, oh God. But now that he's done it, he says, Father, I will. Here's what I want. Well, how did he get here? I'll tell you how. Look with me in this same chapter, in this prayer. Look with me at the phrase, I have. In verse 4, he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. Again in verse 4, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. In verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. In verse 8, I have given unto them thy words. In verse 12, those whom thou gavest me, I have kept. Verse 14, I have given them thy word. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. So having accomplished all these I haves, reaching forward to include the cross, I have suffered and died. On this basis, he now prays, Father, I will. I want this. I want this. I've earned this. So there's the relationship by which he prayed, Father. There's the realm in which he prayed, I will. The third thought would be the redeemed for whom he prayed. And we'll not linger here too long because we've already referred to several of these verses in which he identifies the subjects for whom he prays as those which thou hast given me. Matter of fact, he says this seven times in this prayer. He refers to this. Those whom thou hast given me. Those whom thou hast given me. You see, Christ is not praying for anyone not included in that everlasting covenant set and sealed in eternity past. So many people think that the Lord is fighting a losing battle. He's trying to get everybody's attention in this world, and he's not able to get many people's attention. There's too much other exciting stuff going on. No, he gets the attention of those whom he wishes to get the attention of. Matter of fact, he is open and plain about it in verse 9. He is far more plain than today's religious world can swallow. Look what he says in verse 9 here. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. His prayer is a definite prayer for definite subjects. His atoning death was a definite atonement. He never died to make salvation possible for everybody. He died to make salvation certain for those whom the Father had given him. That's what he's saying in this chapter and all through the New Testament. He said in John, I lay down my life for the sheep. This is one of the things that keeps many good people from coming to this church. And I know that because I, as the pastor, won't ignore the words of Christ and preach that he died for sheep and goats and that he's doing the best he can to try and convert Adam's race. He's not doing it. He died for his own. Fourth and finally, in this verse, the request that Christ actually prayed for. He requested several things for us through the course of this chapter. But the specific request of our text in this verse, first part of 24, it extends on into the latter part, but we're looking at the first part. Here it is. That those whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. That's what he prayed for us. That they be with me where I am. Well, where was he? Well, now, physically, he was weary. He was tired. He was in a world rejected and hated. He was facing a cross in the morning. He was considered the lowest and most despised of any person in the history of the world. That's where he was physically. Is that what he wills for us? Is that what he's praying for us? That they be with me where I am? No. When he says that they be with me where I am, he means the realm in which I am. Reaching beyond all the sufferings and pain, beyond all the hurts and heartaches of this life. And his prayer's been answered. Many times through the years, he's taken me to where he is. Now, I'm not talking about this stuff you read on the scandal sheets about dying and seeing this bright light and all that stuff and then coming back. I'm not talking about he's taken me where he is like that. I'm talking about taking me where he is in acceptance with the Father, at peace with him. Oh, his prayer's been answered. He's taken me there many times in my spirit. And my spirit's been raptured. Oh, all these guys talking about the rapture. I've been raptured a few times. Huh? Apostle Paul was while he was here too. All God's children are. We're there with him positionally all the time. But to be there in spirit, while still in this flesh, it's so wonderful to have the Lord just do something special. I'm not talking about people jumping benches. I'm talking about warm your heart and give you strength to go another mile when you don't think you can. Oh, those times are limited. And those times are limited in measure. But thank God for them. But He's praying this for us. To see ourselves in Him and with Him as complete in Him and having already conquered in Him. And in Him we already have. This is not some future pie in the sky somewhere He's talking about. This is for the dirty here and now. This is for grace for you to face tomorrow. Matter of fact, He prays in verse 15, Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. That's not it. No, He's talking about. But that you'll let them know and feel and be assured, sometimes with a reality, to be able to be with me where I am and see themselves in this realm of acceptance with you. This morning, I don't know the circumstances of everyone present here. Matter of fact, I had no idea who all would be here. I knew some folks were going to be gone. I didn't know who would or wouldn't be here. I'm glad you're here. But I'm saying this. I don't know everybody's circumstances. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're facing tomorrow. I don't know what your troubles are, your heartaches are. And I'm really glad if all is well in your life. If your health's good, your home, your family, your marriage, your finances, your children, your relationships. I'm really glad for you if everything's good. But I know there's some sitting here this morning, and probably most of us, are hurting over some things we can't fix. And facing some things we don't have the answer for. Mountains just too steep to climb. And valleys just too deep to cross. And certainly it's not wrong to ask the Lord to solve problems and change these things and relieve us of burdens. But what we really need this day and every day is to experience in some measure the answer of this prayer our Lord prayed for us. To enter in some measure this realm of Christ's existence. To be with Him where He is. Beyond the circumstances of the storms of life. Into the certainties of our salvation in Him. Oh, blessed, blessed truth. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. You know, the disciples got into trouble oftentimes when they wasn't with Him. But when they were with Him, everything is all right. So the prayer this morning is, Lord, let me be with you where you are. Thank you for listening. Let's stand together.